Where are we studying?
We're studying this music.
Where are we studying tonight?
The Bible.
Who?
Zechariah.
Zechariah.
Zechariah. Is it Zechariah or Zephaniah?
Zechariah.
Zechariah, okay. Now, he has in common one thing, well, several things, but he has in common one of the prophets we just got to study. Who's that?
Haggai.
Haggai. They were under the same king.
Yeah.
King Darius.
Yeah, Darius the second. Yeah, they came to Judah and Jerusalem about 2 months apart, or they started prophesying about 2 months apart. Haggai was an older gentleman. We're finding Zechariah as a young man, and he came about 2 months. He came about 2 months after Haggai. What do you think was the difference between Haggai's prophecies and Zechariah's prophecies? Do you remember what the situation was there in Jerusalem when Haggai arrived?
He was going to have them build the temple, and they hadn't been doing what they should have been doing. So he was more concentrated on that, where I think Zechariah's futuristic as far as his visions.
Yeah, Haggai was complaining, God was complaining through Haggai, about the lack of work that was being done on the city walls, but especially on the temple. How long had they been lackadaisical about this?
16 years.
Yeah, so they came into Jerusalem with the expecting to build this temple and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and something went awry. So they ran into problems with the locals, with the Amorites, with the Philistines and the Samaritans that were living in that area at the time, and so they kind of stopped working on the walls and on the temple. And what did they do instead?
Worked on their own houses.
Yeah, they built their own fancy houses. So here's Haggai that's come to town, and he's deriding them for the situation that they put themselves in, and God's really happy with them, isn't he? No?
No.
No, God's not happy at all, is he? And so he's condemning them through Haggai. So along comes Zechariah, and his message is a little bit different than Haggai's. And where Haggai's is complaining and casting accusations at the people, Zechariah comes along and he's offering inspiration. And we're going to see this throughout the book of Zechariah, where instead of condemning them for their lack of work, he's encouraging them. So it's kind of a refreshing tempo for the people there that live in that area. Who was the king at this particular time? This was Darius?
Darius
the second? I don't know if it was, there must have been a Darius the first, but I don't think he had anything to do with the Babylonian Empire or anything like that. Darius was a Babylonian king?
Persian.
No, Persian.
Yeah, he was a Persian king. I'm sorry. Yeah, he was a Persian king, wasn't he? Now, he was the grandson of a gentleman we know as Xerxes, who was, what was his other name? Xerxes? And who was he?
Esther.
He was Esther's husband, was he? Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, and I think they called him, I think his other name was Cambyses, if I remember right. But after he was assassinated, then his son, Artaxerxes, came into being. And then after him was Darius II, who was Xerxes' grandson. And he was more inclined. Is this the first time that Darius is sending these people to whoever wants to go back to Jerusalem? Is this the first time they were offered to do that? Who sent them back the first time, or offered to send them back the first time?
Cyrus.
Okay. Cyrus, who was he?
He was a Mede.
Oh, Mede and Persian Empire is what he was in control of, yeah. Why do you suppose he did that?
God directed him to do it.
I'm sorry?
God directed him to do it.
Well, you remember that somebody brought out the scrolls?
Showed that it 200 years before it was prophesied.
Yeah, 200 years before he came into being, it was prophesied by name that he would be the king. And so it kind of got his attention a little bit. Yeah. So now these people are in Jerusalem. They've been stymied for 16 years over building the walls and building the temples. So here comes Zechariah. And he began his prophesying about 2 months after Haggai was prophesying in Judah. And this was chapter 1 begins with a statement of how wicked and unfaithful Zechariah's ancestors were, how they departed from the Lord and wouldn't listen, so God punished them for their sins. It says God sent prophets to them, and at times they listened and returned to the Lord. And when they did this, it was very profitable for them. God took care of them. That's the first five or six verses in chapter 1 of Zechariah. And in chapter 1, verse 7, Zechariah receives his first vision. And at that time, he had been in Judah only about 3 months. What was his vision about?
Horses.
Okay. Man on a red horse. And then he saw three other horses.
Red and sorrow and
who was this man on a red horse?
Myrtle. That's a tree.
It doesn't say, it just says the man.
That no, was... actually it's an angel.
Mentions
that in the next verse or so. Yeah, it's an angel, and then he takes Zechariah down there and he sees these three other people on the horses. Who were they? Yeah, but
it looks like they were watchers of some sort, maybe angels.
Okay.
Well, it says they were the ones whom the Lord had sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth.
That's right.
So they were sent by the Lord. It doesn't give a name. It just says they were sent by the Lord.
Yeah. Well, they were angels. And they were sent to roam the earth and to check out whether or not there was peace and calm. And that's what they reported. Everything was peace and calm, except where?
In verse 19, it says, these horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem.
Kevin Trent Harrison.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, that's him. You thought it was you.
It wasn't me.
So
sorry about that.
Halloween all over again.
Number nine.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, his vision was about seeing this man on a horse, red horse, in some trees. And he asked them what they were, and they were angels sent throughout the land to see that all was calm and quiet. But then the angel asked, how about Jerusalem? How about Judah's cities? How about mercy for them? You punished them for how long?
70 years.
How many?
70.
70 years. Who was that that did that to them?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Babylon?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Remember Nebuchadnezzar? 70 years? Yeah. Okay. Then the angel said to Zechariah to declare that God has a strong love for Jerusalem, and my temple will be rebuilt, and the walls of Jerusalem will be rebuilt. Christ or God is declaring here that I have a love for Jerusalem, and those walls will be built, and the temple will be rebuilt. It says my towns will be rich again, and I will choose Jerusalem again and comfort her. What was the second vision?
Ron, can I go back for just a second?
Oh, sure.
I don't know that, to me, I don't see it being an angel on the horse. It says specifically in verse 8, there was a man mounted on a red horse. Are you saying that was an angel on the horse?
Yes, I think so.
It says it was a man.
But they always, always appeared as, or angels appeared as men. Do they not?
Would Zechariah then refer to him as my Lord? What are these? Because in 9 it says, then I said, my Lord, what are these?
Yeah.
And so the angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. Is it, was it just my Lord? Was that just the a customary, like?
Well,
that's like.
Yeah, when you say Lord, you mean it's out of respect.
Yes, yeah.
Well, during the night I had a vision. I saw a man riding a red horse. He was standing among some myrtle trees in the ravine. Behind him were red, brown, and white horses. And I asked, what are these, sir? The angel who was talking with me answered. He said, I'll show you what they are. This is in verse 9.
Right. So you don't think that angel is separate from the man on the horse?
I don't think so, because he was, that's who Zechariah was talking to.
Well, then 10 says, and the man who stood on
and he says,
right.
Yeah. All, and he asked the man, or the angel, and the angel said, I'll tell you what they are.
No, the man said, I'll tell you what they are.
Well,
in chapter 6, verse 5, the angel answered and said to me, these are four spirits of heaven going forth after standing before the Lord of all the earth, with one of which the black horses are going forth to the north country, white ones are going forth after them, and the dappled one goes forth to the southern country. So
we're going to, all together, we're going to look at 9 visions. And the ones that we are going to see tonight don't quite cover that far, but excuse me. But anyway.
Are these the horses that are referred to as the four horses of the apocalypse?
No.
Okay.
No.
Different horses.
Yeah.
That's Revelation.
So then the man, standing among the myrtle trees, explained, they are the ones the Lord sent through all the earth. Then they spoke to the Lord's angel. He was standing in the myrtle tree. He said, we've gone through all the earth. Everything is calm and quiet. Then the Lord's angels asked, Lord of heaven's army, how long before you show mercy to Jerusalem and the cities of Judah? You've been angry with them for over 70 years. Then the Lord answered the angel who was talking with me. His words were comforting and good. Then the angel told me, announced this. This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. I have a strong love for Jerusalem, and I'm very angry with the nations that feel so saved. I was only a little angry, but they made things worse for my people. So this is what the Lord says. I will return to Jerusalem with mercy. My temple will be rebuilt, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and the measuring line will be used to rebuild Jerusalem. Also announced, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies say, my towns will be rich. I will conduct comfort Jerusalem again, and I will still choose Jerusalem. So now we're going to look at the second vision. We find that in verse 18.
Four horns.
Saw four animal horns, and the angel said they represented what? The four horns? What did he say that they represented?
Those which are scattered to Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem.
Yeah, the ones that have destroyed, scattered Judah, Jerusalem, and who?
Israel.
Israel. Now, Israel has been gone for over 200 years. Why do you suppose he mentions Israel in this?
Were his people.
Yeah, they were his people, and the nation scattered them. Even though the Lord warned them that this was going to happen, and that it was going to be his decision to make it, but that's what happened. Israel was destroyed, no longer existed. But he mentions it here. They're still his people, aren't they? The angel also mentioned four craftsmen. What were they used for?
It says that these are the four horns.
I'm sorry?
It says that these are the four horns.
The craftsmen.
So they're the same as the horns are.
No, the craftsmen are destroyed.
The horns are different. They're going to destroy.
What are the craftsmen for?
To terrify.
Yeah.
And cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land.
Yeah, the four horns are the nations that have created havoc with the children of Israel over the years. And these craftsmen are going to take down these four horns, aren't they, and destroy the countries that they represent because of their treatment of Judah and the people there. So we find in this first chapter, we see a call to return to God, don't we? And a reminder about their evil ways and their return from time to time, and God's promise to punish those who have treated the Israelites so badly, and then gave them a promise to restore them and to rebuild his city and his temple. So there's good times to come, isn't there? This is what what God is promising them. Anybody have any comments? And by the way, thank you, appreciate you bringing that up, and got to delve into it a little bit more. So, yeah, anybody have any questions, please feel free to step up. Yes, Carol?
I think that the confusing thing is it said it was four spirits, and I think the angel is the angel, but the four spirits are also angels because they were sent from God. I think that's where the, as I've been thinking about it, I think that's where the confusion comes in.
Yeah, yeah, and there's
a spirit. We don't have spirit. We weren't talking about what four spirits.
Well, they were talking about the you mean the three that roam the earth,
yeah,
check out the calmness and stuff, and the person that Zechariah was talking to, four people. I think they were angels as well.
I think that quote I read in chapter 6.
And, you know, we see a number of times in the Old Testament where the angels appeared as men. One that brings to mind real quick is when the two men visited Abraham.
I guess I'm just curious because sometimes it says angel and sometimes it says man. So I think it's two different things.
Okay.
It would lead me to believe it's two different things.
Well, my
thinking, I could be completely wrong.
That's okay.
I'm open to that.
My version of scripture tells me that it's an angel.
It never says man?
Yes, it does. But then while he's in conversation with Zechariah, it also calls him an angel. Zechariah, so then the angel told me this and told me that. So
yeah,
I think it's one
of
the same.
If you look at verse 10 and then verse 11, verse 10 says, and the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are those whom the Lord has sent to trouble the earth. And then verse 11 goes to say, so they answered the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees and said, we have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth is peaceful and quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have two thoughts, right?
There's an example, I think, when Abraham met the three men that came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know that those were angels.
Yeah.
They had the power. I think it says they were angels later on.
Yes.
But referred to them first as men.
Yeah.
But Abraham, it seems, knew when they came.
Yeah, I think Abraham knew who they were, or at least he suspected.
Yeah.
You know, he was very, very respectful. And fed them and all that stuff. You know.
Yeah.
They appeared as men. So, Bob, you have a question?
No, I have a comment, though.
Okay.
We're talking about two different types of people or individuals here because they use the word angel and they use the word man. And the men defer to the angel. So evidently, there is a difference between these, whether they are lesser angels or whether or not they're just ordinary men. I don't think we can know.
Okay, well,
because it's evident that in the whole conversation Zechariah talks with an angel, and this angel in turn talks with what in this old King James that I'm reading refers to as men, and they have a task. They write out and look over the world. Certainly they're spiritual beings, it would seem to me like. But
yeah,
for some reason or other,
well, they have to be
spiritual
beings, but you know,
doesn't call them angels, call them men.
Okay. I don't know anybody, any men that are spiritual spirits that are referred to. I mean, I've seen that angels referred to as men.
Well, there are men in heaven. Not everybody in heaven is an angel, because we're referred to as men in Revelation and in other places in the Bible. So I think there's a different grouping there, and hierarchy, if you will.
I think I'd have to study a little bit more about that.
Well, I would have to, too.
Yeah.
Just to state my opinion, I guess.
Yeah, I've not heard that before.
That's what you get for asking me.
Okay, we'll talk about that. That's kind of interesting, you know, but we'll get a chance to visit about that. I'd like to talk to you. Okay, so let's go on here while we've got a chance here. Chapter 2, okay, 1 through 13, verses 1 through 13, describes the second vision that Zechariah writes about as the man with the measuring line. Now, what is this for? What's a measuring line? What is he referring to as a measuring line in this group of verses?
Well, he says up here in the first chapter, and you said the measuring line, but mine says a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Is that the same thing he's
referring to? Yeah, so he's taking a measuring line, and Zechariah said, well, what's he doing?
Measuring Jerusalem.
So what's he doing? Yeah. He's measuring the width and the breadth, the length of Jerusalem. And so then what happens?
Our angel's talking.
Yeah, says, hey, go tell that guy not to worry about it. Tell him to quit. We don't need to measure him. Why not? Because there is going to be so many people and so many cattle in Jerusalem, you can't build a wall around all those people. What's he talking about? God said he would put a wall of fire around it when he has protection. What's he talking about cattle here? So many people and so many cattle. What's he talking about?
Prosperity, probably.
Yeah, I think he's talking about prosperity. Absolutely. Showing the riches and prosperity. He's describing the future glory and the prosperity of Jerusalem, isn't he? Okay, let's read to chapter 2, verses 10 through 12.
10 through 12?
10 through 12, yes.
Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith Jehovah. And many nations shall join themselves to Jehovah in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that Jehovah of hosts has sent me unto thee. And Jehovah shall inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and shall yet choose Jerusalem.
Okay. Who's he talking about here?
Feel like he's talking about Jesus coming.
Yeah, is this a foretold episode? Is he foretelling about the Messiah?
I think with the measuring line and all of that, and just that there's no need for a measuring line because it's going to be so wide because of all the people that he's going to have come.
Yeah, isn't that what happened? Mm-hmm. We read about the Messiah? Yeah. Absolutely. And you'll find that Zechariah has a lot of that, especially in the latter chapters, and we'll see that Zechariah is quoted in quite a few areas and books of the New Testament. And so we'll take a look at some of those as we go along too. But he has a lot of references in here to the Messiah. This going to affect us? Has it affected us?
Yeah,
absolutely. This is wonderful news for us today, isn't it? He's talking about, and this is how many years before the coming of the Messiah? 400 plus, doesn't it? Yeah. 400 plus years. Yeah. Okay. So do we know that this is an indication of the coming of Christ and the establishment of the church, doesn't it? Okay. Chapter 3. Then we see the high priest Joshua. What do we know him from? Yes.
I have a question. You've been a song leader for a while. This last verse, verse 13.
Okay.
Is that the one that our song, the Lord is in his holy temple, was
written after? I think so, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I've not read that song. I never researched it a whole lot, but
there's usually a verse up at the top.
That I, yeah.
That refers yeah. to the song.
Be silent before him. Thinking back on when I started leading singing, it was 14.
Really?
Yeah, that was about 40 years ago.
Yeah. You wish.
Maybe not.
Well, I remember leading songs. Yeah.
Okay, so we're in chapter 3. Chapter 3, we see mention of the high priest Joshua. And you remember him from the book of Haggai? He was appointed high priest. And he came to town with who? Zerubbabel. Who became the governor of that area with Joshua as the high priest. And he sees him standing before the angel of Jehovah in dirty clothes. In dirty clothes, he's standing there by Satan. What do the dirty clothes indicate?
That he's common?
I'm sorry?
That he was common?
I think part of that, and also it indicated that he was sinful. He was carrying sins. And so they had his clothes changed, and after that he said, your sins have been cleared. Kind of interesting, my book talks about putting a clean turban on his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. I guess that was a part of their wardrobe back in those days. What surprises me too, you know, you look back and a lot of these Old Testament stories and stuff about nose rings. That's pretty common. That was regular. So you see kids would go around with, well, mostly women, some of the men too, I guess. But you see a lot of women going around with nose rings these days. So I have kind of a hard time looking at that, but it was pretty common back in Old Testament times. So, and one person I think I remember, what was Isaac?
Rebecca.
And his wife, Rebecca, and she had a nose ring on.
Yep, they did.
Yeah.
I just think of the nose ring on the bulls and the big animals. It was so you could be led along
exactly
in the direction
right.
you didn't
yeah.
want to go.
Yeah. So maybe that's the reason why they had them on the women. I don't know.
Nothing new under the sun, so it's repeating itself.
Come on, honey. Goes around.
Okay. So Joshua was appointed the high priest, wasn't he? And he was told also by the angel that he would be bring someone called the branch. Who's he talking about here?
The branch of Christ.
Yeah, he's talking about Christ, isn't he? Just one of the many, many descriptions of the Lord. And he will take away the sins of the world in one day. What do you think he's referring to there?
Death.
Died on the cross, didn't he? Hung on the cross and he died that same day. So, one day. Okay, that was kind of an interesting portion. I don't know if we're going to, well, yeah, we'll go. Okay, as we study Zechariah, we'll find it's full of messages and referrals to the Messiah, especially towards the second half of the book, like I mentioned. Chapter 4 tells us about another. This is the fifth vision that he's had. This is one about the candlestick, the two olive trees. There were seven lamps with seven wicks on that candlestick. And verse 10 tells us that these are the eyes of the Lord that look back and forth across the earth. In other words, it's an all-seeing eye of God. This chapter describes the message from God to Zerubbabel. And we know he was the governor of Judah, wasn't he? And it says, you won't build this city and this temple on your own. You can't do it. You can't do it by yourself. But the power to build it will come from my spirit. So God says nothing's going to stand in your way. How is it going to stand in anybody's way if God's the one that's controlling it? Ain't not going to happen, is it? Says not even the mountains will stand in his way.
Didn't Darius, he sent back enough money to help redo the whole temple. So, I mean, that obstacle is taken care of. There's God has provided everything and will continue to provide everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the thing, and the only thing that was holding them back was their lack of faith. I think that once they got goosed a little bit and they started looking at it seriously, I think they got the work done pretty quick.
Well, the people around them were, you know, every time they put up part of the fence earlier, they would come and destroy it. So
yes, that's right.
They just, you know, got disheartened. And God says, oh no, you can do this. And they did it fast enough that they could get it done.
Yeah, they kind of put it on the back burner for a long time. But God said, you know, you Zerubbabel, you built the foundation. You laid the foundation of the temple, so you'll also finish it. That way you'll know that the Lord has sent me to you. Okay, so let's look at another real quickie. Chapter 5, here in chapter 5 we have the description of two visions. The first is the vision of the flying scroll. This was not the size of a handkerchief, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Cubits.
Yeah, it's a big sucker. How big was it? 15 feet by 30 feet.
20 cubits by 10 cubits. By 10 cubits.
Yeah. 15 cubits. How many cubits?
20 and 10.
Yeah.
And
or 30 by
15,
15
inches.
By 30. Yeah. Is this a scroll of blessing?
This is a curse that goes out from the
first. This was a scroll of curse, wasn't it? And who was this a warning for?
Every thief and every perjurer.
Every thief and liar in the area, wasn't it? And that scroll was going to be in their houses until their houses were destroyed. Vision was, number two, was about a woman in a basket. What was that about?
Wickedness, sitting in a basket.
What was the basket, what did the basket represent?
Just wickedness.
Wickedness.
Yeah, verse 6 tells us that it was wickedness. What about the woman in the basket? What did she represent? Actually, she was the one that represented wickedness. The basket represented the sins of the land, which is the same thing. But anyway, where'd the basket go? The basket went to Babylon. The angels came, picked it up, and took it to Babylon. Is that where it was belonged? Like, that's where it belonged. That was where wickedness lived. Okay, anybody have any comments or anything like that before we close her up? Yeah, Carol.
How far are we going next week?
We're going to do 6 and 7. And actually, I'd like to do more than that. I'd like to go 6, 7, and 8. And plan on 6 and 7. And we'll take a look at those two chapters next week. And if you get a chance, try to jump ahead to chapter 8. That'd be great. We'll finish up the last of Zechariah's visions in 7. And we'll take a look at some information on the question of fasting and on the certain days of fasting and celebration. We'll look at those next week as well. But thank you so much. I'm